Good morning. Today's daf in Nedarim is Lamed Ches. We are starting today on Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. We are starting with the words of Lamanda Amar. It's about a third of the way down, even less. Anyway, the Gemara right now is in the middle of the following. We're discussing various activities that can be done from the Madir to the Mudir, from the Mudir to the Madir. So Nedar's created, I can't get Hana from you. But still, even though I can't get Hana from you, there are certain things that you can do for me. So notably, we've been discussing now, yesterday, we're going to be discussing it today as well, so you can teach me Torah. So I am not allowed to get Hana from you. Yeah, I know I'm not allowed to get Hana from you, but in other words, teaching Torah, that's something that you don't charge. Okay, and again, by the way, I'm going to ignore any kind of self-reflection like I did yesterday. I'll continue doing it today as well. So in other words, but you don't charge for teaching Torah. Teaching Torah is a mitzvah, and so ma ani b'chinam afata b'chinam. So that was the famous drasha that we went over yesterday. So you have to be teaching Torah, and it has to be done. It has to be done altruistically. So as a result of that, so there's no hana being conveyed from the teacher to the learner. So even though you're not allowed to get hana from me, but I can teach you Torah. Good. Notable exception, chumash. Okay, so the Mishnah already made this point that in terms of teaching Mikra, so Mikra is something that has to, that you can't do. Why? Because there's Hana. Why? Because you could charge for teaching Chumash. Okay, it begs the obvious question. You could charge for teaching Chumash. Well, how can you charge? Meaning Chumash is Torah. Of the things I'm going to be saying today, I mean, that has to go up there. As obvious and you know, Chumash is Torah. And so if I can't charge for teaching Torah, so of course I can't charge for teaching Chumash. Meaning it begs for an explanation. Okay. So what's the explanation? So yesterday's daf, so we went over two different explanations. So number one is that you're not teaching Chumash, you're babysitting. Well, you're doing both. In other words, you're teaching Chumash and you're babysitting. And so what you're charging for is not for the Chumash, but for the babysitting. Meaning, typically speaking, who's a student of Chumash? So the student of Chumash is going to be 5 years of age, right? Like I said yesterday, as per the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. So it's going to be a child. So what does a child need? A child needs shimur, right? So he needs guarding, he needs protection. In other words, basically, the fees for the babysitting services. So if we were to line item the bill that you get for me teaching Torah. So in other words, for the teaching of Torah, so that'd be zero. Good. I can't charge for that. But in other words, but your kid is, you know, what a lovely young child, and I had to, you know what, but I had to watch him. Okay, so for that you charge. Good. So that's one possibility, and that's what's schar shimur. The other possibility of what we discussed yesterday is pisuk ta'amim. In other words, when you're teaching chumash, so for the actual content of the chumash, so that of course you can't charge. That's a chelik of Torah. But what you can charge for is a trup. The trup is not a chelik of the Torah. Again, that's yesterday's daf. Today's daf is going to be totally different. Today's daf, we're going to give a totally different version of this, but in yesterday's daf, trup is not a chelik of the Torah. It's there for enhancements. Ostensibly in yesterday's daf, the Gemara's assumption is the Chachamim innovated. And they added trup to the Torah, but in other words, but the trup itself is not part of the Mesorah. That seems to be what yesterday's daf is saying. And so therefore, what can I charge when I'm teaching Chumash? I can't charge for the content, but what I'm allowed to charge for is the trup. Those are the two viewpoints that we saw yesterday. Then yesterday we got in a little bit of a tangent in terms of your kids going to the Beis Medrash on Shabbos and what can the Rebbe teach him. He can't teach him new material on Shabbos, but what he could do is he could review. And why? Why not learn new material? So that was yesterday's daf. That was yesterday's discussion. I'm not going to go over it right now, but that was a tangent. Anyway, we're going to go back now to the charging for the teaching of the Torah and the two different opinions. And by the way, it was a machlokus amaraim between Rav and Rav Yochanan. And the Gemara now is going to go into its classic back and forth. How come each Amara didn't prefer the other Amara's pshat? That's where we are, and that's where we're going to pick it up from yesterday. Ulemanda Amar, schar pisuk tamim, my time alo Amar, schar shimur. So the Gemara wonders, so if I'm going to go with pisuk tamim, that I'm charging for trap, how come you don't like the pshat regarding shimur? Because the Gemara says, kesavra baros mikabai shimur. Now over here in the Gemara, the Ran has multiple girsas. So I'm just going to go with the girsa that we have in our Gemara. But the Ran notably has a different girsa. He quotes our girsa as well. I'll just read our girsa. And that is Banos Mikabai Shimur. Meaning that in the school, so who's going to school? So you have boys going to school and you have girls going to school. So when you have boys, so the boys are unruly and the boys need Shimur. But when it comes to girls, so the girls are, they're manageable. And so really, what are you, you're babysitting the girls? Okay. And I know it sounds funny and the Ran doesn't love the pshat, but okay. Anyway, the Schar Shimur is not across the board. Schar Shimur, yes, for boys, but no for girls. That's what the Gemara seems to be suggesting. And therefore, it's an incomplete explanation. Doesn't fully explain how you always get to charge. And oh, by the way, according to this Girsa, it certainly is interesting. Meaning what comes out now is that as far as the girls are concerned, so the girls are going to be learning Chumash. Right? Which, I know, now in today's day and age, in other words, we look at these Gemaras and we're like, the girls are learning everything. Okay. But meanwhile, from the Gemara's perspective, that's, you know, I'm not sure if it's to be taken for granted. Anyway, Ulaman Damar Schar Shimur, Mai Tamar Lo Amar Schar Pisuk Tamim. So now, how come Rav didn't say like Rav Yochanan? Meaning, how come he can't, what's the problem with charging for trap? So the Gemara says, Kasavar, because Rav's of the position, Pisuk Tamim Daraisahu. Because there's a fundamental disagreement over here. Rav's of the position that Pisuk Tamim, that the trap, that is not innovation. That is something that's part of the Masara. It's Daraisa. Meaning that when Moshe got the Torah from Sinai, so not only did he receive the words, but the breakup of the words, the trap, all that's part of the Masara, and that is handed down to Moshe Rabbeinu. So, it's a chelik of Torah. As a result of that, so the teaching of the trap is teaching Torah. It's teaching the Masara. And therefore, you can't charge for that. And so over here, this Gemara should sound familiar. We're seeing it here from yesterday's daf, Lamed Zayin, and we saw it also in the beginning of Masechet Megillah as well. Vayikru b'sefer Torah Salokim v'forash v'som sechel v'yavina b'mikra. This is a pasuk in Nehemiah, and a description of the Torah. Right. In other words, when they went back into Eretz Yisrael to build Bayis Sheni, so they reintroduced them to a new Beis Hamikdash, and they reintroduced them to Torah. And so, so over here, as they were going over basically the learning session. So vayikru b'sefer Torah Salokim zumikra. So we're breaking up the pasuk. What is he describing when he's describing Torah? When Nehemiah is describing Torah. So number one, he's referring to the actual content itself. That's the mikra. And mefarash targum. And as far as mefarash is concerned, the explanation. What you and I call targum. Okay. In other words, now it could be targum onklus, meaning onklus lived during Bayis Sheni. And I don't know when during Bayis Sheni he lived. But in other words, it could be a reference to targum onklus, or it could be that it's an older targum. Meaning Targum Onklus is just part of the Masorah, so it could be a reference to an older Targum, regardless. In other words, the explanation of the Psukim. V'som Seichel, Ela Psukim, V'som Seichel. Now that's as far as the Psukim is concerned. So when to break it up. Meaning how are the words to be broken up. And Vayavina B'mikra, Zu Pisuk Ta'amim. And Vayavina B'mikra, that's a reference to the Trop. So the Trop now is part of the Torah. And Vamrila Ela Masorah, and some say that's a reference to the Masorah. Masorah over here, words that are extra, words that are, words that letters are to be taken out, right? Maleos, Chaseros. So all that is part and parcel of the Torah. So over here, Rav's position is, and again, this is a departure from what we were suggesting yesterday. So yesterday we suggested that when it comes to Trop, and that's innovation. The Chachamim added that. That was yesterday's daf, and that's the sheet. It seems to be the sheet of Rav Yochanan. On the other hand, Rav, accompanied with other Amoraim as well, are of the position that no, that Trop is part of Torah Misinai. It's all a chelik of the actual Torah itself. As a result of that, you can't charge for that. Amar Rav Yitzchak Mikra Sofrim. So over here now, what we're going to go over is a couple of categories of what was included in the Masorah. Meaning when the Torah was given, so there's a Masorah for which the Torah is given, and there are words in the Torah that seem to be superfluous. The words of the Torah that are read, but meanwhile they're not even written in the Torah. And by the way, when I'm using the word Torah right now, understand that we're talking about the entirety of Tanakh. Okay, it's not just Chumash. And so over here we're going to go over what was part and parcel of the Masorah. So Mikra Sofrim, so the Itzer Sofrim, the Karyan V'lo K'sivim V'Ksivim V'lo Karyan Halacha Moshe Misinai. Okay, so four categories over here. All four categories are Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. Not going to bother explaining it right now because we're going to go through all four categories together. So let's take it one by one. Number one, Mikra Sofrim. Correct pronunciation of the words of the Torah. So that's part of Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. So for example, Eretz Shamayim Mitzrayim. So three quick examples, and that is, let's just take the word Eretz. Okay, the word Eretz. If it's in the middle of a Pasuk, so it's pronounced the way I just said it, Eretz. What if it's found at the end of the Pasuk? Or if it's found at an Esnachta, so it's not Eretz, but rather it's Aretz. Okay? So whenever the Eretz finds itself at the end of the word, so it's no longer a segel, but rather it's a kamatz. Okay, good. And this is going to be true regarding Shamayim, Eretz, Mitzrayim. In other words, the Gemara just gives an assortment of examples of where we're going to find this. We're going to find this other places as well. Iter Sofrim. Okay, and that was referred to as Mikra Sofrim. So in other words, correct pronunciation of the words. Iter Sofrim. So the words that are used as basically enhancements. Okay, in other words, the word seemingly is not needed, it's not necessary, but it enhances. So the Gemara gives a number of examples. Achar Tavaru, Achar Telech, Achar Teasef, Kid Musarim, Achar Noganim. Okay, three of them are from Chumash, the last one is from Tehillim. And Sidkascha Kaharere Kel. And one more pasuk also from Tehillim as well. And I'm you'll forgive me. I'm not going to go through all the details over here in terms of, but in all these examples, the word achar is a superfluous word. It's really not necessary, but it does enhance. It enhances the language. And again, these enhancements, are part of the Masara. They're Halach LaMoshe Mitzrayim. Karyon V'lo Ksivan. Category number three, krivalok siv. In other words, words that we're going to say, even though they're not in the text itself. Meaning, as part of the Misora, there are going to be a selection of psukim where the word is not written down, but we're going to say it. Okay? And obviously, for all these examples, there are reasons, meaning that there are encrypted messages that are communicated in terms of why all these things are, meaning why would there be a word that is read but not written? So obviously there are layers and layers of understanding. We're not even scratching the surface right now. We're just getting the facts down. Kriyan v'lok sivan. So over here the Gemara gives an assortment of examples. These are all going to be from Nach, meaning in the Chumash itself we're not going to find it. Right? There won't be an example in Chumash where you have a word that is read but not written. But in Nach, the Gemara is going to give us seven different examples, right? I think I counted correctly. Anyway, I'm not going to go through, I'll read the Gemara, but I'm not going to go through all the Pesukim. So Pras, and Belechto, and Ish de Kasher. I'm sorry. So Pras de Belechto. Sorry, that's example number one. That's from Shmuel Beis. And Ish de Kasher, Yishal Ish Bedvar Lokim. And Ba'im de Nivnasa. And La de Plata. Okay, so last two are from Yirmiyahu. So two from Shmuel Beis, two from Yirmiyahu, and then three coming from Sefer Rus. As to Hugad, I'm sorry, Hugad, Hugad. Okay, and Eli da Garen and Eli da Sarim. So I'll link Kriv Velok Siv. So those are examples where it's Kriv Velok Siv. The words are read, but they're not there. Okay, so the Baal Kore, this is a real test of the Baal Kore, meaning it happens to be that when laning from Rus, so we're not doing it from cloth. We're doing it from a sefer that tells you, you know, insert the word over here. But if you're reading from a cloth, in other words, so the Baal Kore now really needs to know what he's doing. Meaning now he's got to read a word that's not even written down on the cloth. Okay. Ksivan velo kriyan. And now we're going to go in the other direction, and that is the ksivan velo kri. The word is written, but it's not going to be enunciated. Rather, the Baal Kore, when he goes over that pasuk, he'll see the word, but he won't say it. Okay? And again, Halacha LaMoshe Mitzrayim. So, Na de Yislach. So, once again, the Gemara gives an assortment of examples. One, the first one's from Sefer Malachim. We are on the very top of Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. Now, the first example that's given over here on the top of the Amud. So, Zos de HaMitzvah. Now, you can see, by the way, all the alarm bells go off. Meaning, in the Gemara, when you see all those notations, right, there's an aleph, there's an aleph, there's an aleph. So that basically, those are what I call the fire alarm. Meaning that as far as the girsa in our Gemara is concerned, so something happened with the girsa, and all the people who are checking on the girsa, right? The Gura, the Bach, right? All of them who are checking on the Girsa. So they basically say, okay, this needs to be checked. Meaning the Girsa that we currently have right now, no. The Girsa that we have right now seems to be going to a Pasuk in Devarim, which, even the Ron points out that the Ron says, I don't know what the Gemara is talking about, right? This particular example that's given of a ksivalo kri, written but not pronounced. Okay. And anyway, the Bach, the Gra, so they point to a different pasuk. Okay. Anyway, the Yidroch de Hadorech and Chamesh de Pas Negev and Im de Chi Goel and Halen Ksivim Velo Kri. So those are examples of where it is written, but it's not going to be pronounced. Again, I'm not going through the pesukim inside. The last example, also from Sefer Rus, right? So Rus, by the way, in terms of being a Balkore, it's a little bit of a minefield, meaning that there are words that are not going to be written, but you pronounce, and there are also going to be words that are pronounced, but not written. Okay, fine. Amrav Achabar Ada B'marava. Okay, good. Period. Adkan. Okay, so that basically takes us to the end of why didn't Rav accept Rav Yochanan's understanding? Right, that you can charge for Chumash because what you're charging for is for Trup. So Rav's dismissal of Rav Yochanan is because he's not right. Meaning, Rav Yochanan's assertion that Trup is an innovation, but it was not part of the Misara. So Rav says, no, it's fundamentally wrong. It's part and parcel of the Misara. Okay, good. Adkan. That takes us to the end, really, of the discussion. Just a couple more points to make. Amar Ravacha Ba'adam and Marava Paskal Adim Psukal Atalta Psuke. This Gemara, I'm sorry, I was going to say it's a Megillah. No, I'm editing myself. It's not the Gemara in Megillah, it's the Gemara in Kedushin. The Gemara in Kedushin also, right, towards the end of the first parak, also has a discussion regarding the Psukim of the Torah, right? The Gemara over there in Kedushin actually gives us a total number of Psukim that there are in the Torah, right? 5,000... I should remember these things. Anyway. Something like 5,800 psukim in the Torah, and someone please fact check me if I
count them.
I didn't. No, the whatever. In other words, right. The point is that in other words the obviously with the intention and the purpose of making sure and committing themselves to every word of the Torah, every letter of the Torah, you know, keeping to the Masorah, so they counted. Right. The Gemara in Kedushin describes the sofrim as sofrim because what they're doing is they're counting. Meaning, right, you think about it. What's a sofer? So in our mind, a sofer is somebody who writes. But that's not what the word means. The word means a counter. Because mama, she's counting every letter. Okay. What's discussed by a number of people is that there is a comment. It's not a Gemara. Its roots may come from Kabbalah. Anyway, there's a comment that there are 600,000 letters in the Torah corresponding to the number of people by Har Sinai. It's not close to 600,000, right? The number is way less than 600,000. Again, the actual number itself, I don't remember offhand, but anyway, okay. Anyway, so over here we have a pasuk. Sorry. So this is, I just went on a tangent. This is a Gemara in Kedushin. It's also Gemara right here in today's daf. Lamed Ches. In Nedarim. Amar Vacher Bar Ada B'Ma'arav Apasuk Latei Pesukin Latal Tepesukin. So you have a pasuk. This is in Yisrael, this pasuk. And in Eretz Yisrael, we qualify this as one pasuk. In Eretz Yisrael, they broke it up into three pesukim. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Hineh Anochi Ba'alecha Ba'avanan Ba'avor Yishma. And the pasuk goes on and on. It's a long pasuk. So anyway, so in Eretz Yisrael, they broke it up into three pesukim. The Gemara doesn't have any comment on this. The Gemara doesn't tell us why. Really interesting opinion. From the Shita Mekubetzes, in terms of why it is. So he says that, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, so they wouldn't finish the Chumash once a year.
5845.
Huh?
5845.
5845.
Oh. It says here 5852.
Okay. Fine. I'm just happy that I got... I was...
Seven chapters.
Okay, I was in the right ballpark. I'm excited. Okay, so good. Good. Anyway, this pasuk, the Shita Mekubetzes says that in Eretz Yisrael, so what they did is they broke up the Torah, into 3 years, meaning, sorry, let me say it clear. That in other words, it took in Eretz Yisrael 3 years to finish the entire Torah. Okay, good. So that means, can you imagine going to Shul in Eretz Yisrael back in the day? where the leaning of the parsha was a third of where we are. Again, over here in terms of my numbers, so my stats are, they're okay today. They're not good. But anyway, but basically, on an average, the parsha is 100 psukim, right? Some less, some more, but I'd say roughly about 100 psukim, right, per parsha. So in other words, imagine going to shul and instead of 100, now it's going to be 33 psukim. Wait, wow. Wow. So how do you divide that by 7?
Exactly.
So good. So that's what exactly what the Shita Mekubetza says. So that narrative saw, so where they needed more psukim, so they took the bigger psukim and they broke them down. Okay, now, okay, the Gemara doesn't comment, but let's at least give voice to how can they do that? Meaning, if the pasuk really is one pasuk, happens to be a long one, so then by what right do they have to go ahead and just simply break it down? Because we need more psukim. Okay, I'm asking the question. I don't have a precise answer. We're going to go on. Amar Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanina, Lo Hashem Moshe, Lami Psola, Sam Shola Luchos. How did Moshe become wealthy? Okay, the Psola Shola Luchos. So Moshe was there etching out the Luchos. So as he's carving out the words into the Luchos, so the Luchos were precious stones. And so so the material that came out as he was etching, so Moshe kept that, and that's how he became wealthy. So Shenamra, Psalachosh, Niluchos Avanim, Kirishanim, and Psultan Shalcha Yehe. In other words, Psal Lecha, every Lecha in the Torah is a description of ownership and possession. And what does it mean, Psal Lecha? So the understanding is that the shavings are going to go off and be given to Moshe. So Amra, Biyos, Rebbe Chinin, Lonina, Torah, Elon, Moshe, Lazaro. Shenemra, Ksav Lecha. Psal lecha, ma psultan shelcha, af ksavan shelcha. And Moshe nag ba tov asayin, unas nisrov, alav akasav amr, tov ayin hu yivorach. Okay. So really striking comment by Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. As far as the Torah was concerned, it was really only intended for Moshe and the children of Moshe, but that's it. In other words, Torah was never intended for the Jewish people. And what Moshe did is he did us all a favor in teaching us the Torah. Okay, now, that's a striking comment, right? We don't have to wonder because the Gemara is going to be doing the wondering for us. The Gemara immediately reacts to that. It can't be. So, Mesa Rev Chista, Vositzi Vashem, Beisahi, Lalamid Eschem. So, in other words, wasn't the instruction of Moshe to teach us the Torah? So the Ositziva ve'anilachem. So the Gemara gives a possible interpretation. Moshe was instructed, and then he passed it on to us. Okay, that's a possible way to read the pasuk. Re'ilim anati eschem chukim mishpatim kasher tzivan Hashem Elokai. Once again, what we seem to have is a simple pasuk that indicates that the instructions were that Moshe teach us the Torah. So the Gemara says again, Ositziva ve'anilachem. Again, what we could suggest over here is that the original plan was that Moshe learned the Torah, and then he then went ahead on his own and passed it on to us. Again, the Gemara really is a hard time with this.
Right now, the Gemara
is at least entertaining the idea. No, the Torah's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Right, so what
the Gemara is entertaining is that Moshe was the only one who was really intent on learning it, and his children. But that's it. And again, right now, within this idea, which we're entertaining, the Gemara is not going to stay by this. But at least we're entertaining this idea. There are a number of psukim that seem to counter it, and the Gemara is dealing with the psukim. So here, the Gemara has the third pasuk. V'atakitzul lechem asashir azos. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to write down the Shira. The Gemara's assumption right now is that Shira is a reference to the entire Torah. And Lachem, meaning all of you are supposed to write it down. Meaning Torah's for everybody, right? So the Gemara says, no, Shira Lechuda. No. We can interpret it to mean just Hazinu. Everyone's got to write down Hazinu, but the rest of the Torah is just for Moshe. So, again, it's such an interesting, just suggestion, right? We all know where we're going to land on this. But just as a suggestion, Lamanti Ali Ashir Azos Aid Bibnei Yisrael. Once again, that would seem to indicate that's a reference to the entire Torah. So the Gemara says, Ella Pilpula Balma. Okay, so the Gemara says like this. we're scratching the original suggestion, and that is that no, really, of course, the Torah was meant to be go to the entirety of Klal Yisrael, not just Moshe. And Moshe was in fact instructed to teach us the entirety of the Torah. And again, even as a suggestion, just striking, like interesting. But the Gemara says no. All Klal Yisrael are meant to learn the Torah. So if that's true, so what does it mean that something was only intended for Moshe? So what the Gemara describes as pilpula ba'alma. Pilpula Torah was supposed to be just for Moshe alone and his descendants. Okay, so pilpula Torah. So what does that mean? Meaning that what we have is that we have Chumash, we have the Halacha, very straightforward. Meaning that what was meant and intended for Klal Yisrael is just basically give me the facts. Right, you're right. In other words, tell me what I'm supposed to do, what I'm not supposed to do. Right, just give me the information. And then in terms of learning, meaning like what we do over here, right, on whatever level people are learning at. But in other words, the back, the fourth, the Kal Vachomer, the Gzera Shava, right? The Pilpul of the Torah. So that's something that was only meant for Moshe originally. And then what Moshe says is, no, I think everyone should have it. I think the Pilpul of the Torah should be something that's a chilek of everybody. Everybody should be involved in the process of learning and not just the bottom line information. Good. I'm Rav Yochanan, Nekosh Baruch Hu, Masha Shechinaso, Ela Al Gibor Vashir. So what does your resume have to have in order to have a Shas HaShechina? So your resume has to have four qualities on it. And if your resume does not have four qualities on it, so you're not going to have a Shas HaShechina. V'kulam Moshe. Now, as far as, how do I know? So we're going to take the paradigm. The paradigm is going to be Moshe. Moshe is a prototype. And as such, Moshe, now we're going to look at his qualities. And he had a Shas HaShechina. Now, right, we all know. In other words, it's one of the Yud Gimel Ikarei Emuna. That Moshe's Ashra Shechina far surpassed everybody else's, right? The Lokam Yisrael Kanavi. There was no Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, that's true. But even if you want to have any kind of Nevuah, so you have to have the qualities of Moshe Rabbeinu. And four specifically, and let's go through all four. So number one, we're going to start off with Gibor. So Gibor over here, Gvura. Now, usually Gvura, in terms of halacha's concern, does not mean physical strength. It would seem strange. That would be a prerequisite for nevuah, right? Physical endurance in order to have spiritual levels. Gvura generally in halacha means hakovesh yitzro, right? The Mishnah Perkei Avos. I say that knowing the Gemara is going to understand gvura kipshuto, meaning it's talking about actual physical strength. Okay, that's interesting, and why that's a prerequisite for nevuah and ashras hashchina. Okay, that needs more explanation. Anyway, so Gibor the Dichsiva. First, it's all Ala Mishkan VaAmar Moshe Rabbeinu Parsu Ksiv Esra Amos Orech HaKeresh. So, what did Moshe do? So he spread the covering over the Mishkan. The Mishkan was 10 amos high. Okay, so that could be anywhere within the ballpark of 15 to 20 feet high. And so, what Moshe did is that Moshe spread it over. Okay? So he was a giant of a man. So the Gemara says, okay, all we know is that he's tall. That does, in other words, but he may not be filled out. Okay, and while preparing the daf, by the way, this is just embarrassing, but I'll share. I was thinking about various NBA centers who were like, you know, sticks of a human being and didn't really make it in the NBA, but but because of their height, so they were drafted. Okay, sorry, that was. Whatever, where my mind goes. Anyway, but the Gemara is suggesting that's exactly the case by Moshe, meaning maybe he was very thin. So Ella dichsiv Ella min adinkra dichsiv espos b'shnei aluchos v'ashachem v'ashtei yadai v'ashabreim v'tanya aluchos arkan shisha v'rachman shisha v'avyan shlosha. So what Moshe did is he picked up the luchos and he broke them. So picking up the luchos and breaking them, and these things weren't small, 6 by 6 by 3. So and he was able to pick and it was stone. It was pure stone. Okay. So giving us an indication that he's a gibor. Number two, Asher. Moshe was wealthy. So number it says psalachap sultan shachayehe. So this we've already gone over, and probably that's the connective tissue between our gemara over here and what we learned just moments earlier. Anyway, so he was wealthy. So chacham Rav Shmuel Damer Tavayu chamishim shari bina nivru baolam v'kulam nitin la Moshe chaser achash enemar v'tachzarehu me'at melukim. So the pasuk in Tehillim that describes Moshe as just being just short of having 50 levels of Bina. In other words, he had 49, right? And you keep seeing that number 49 come up again and again. Obviously, 49 days going from Yitzias Mitzrayim to Kabbal Satorah. Okay, good. And finally, quality number four is Anava, being humble. So, Dechsiv, Aish Moshe, Anav Me'od. Okay. So these are the four qualities that you need in order to have a Shras HaShechina. And we just pointed out that Moshe's got all four. We have Psukim that point to this idea that Moshe had all four. I'm Rav Yochanan, Kol HaNeviim, Ashirim, Hayom, Minal, Mi Moshe, Mi Shmuel, Mi Amos, Mi Yona. This idea that to be a Navi, you have to be wealthy. So that can be derived from four different personalities. So Moshe, Dechsiv, Lo Chamor, Echad, Mehem, Nasasi. So now, as far as Moshe is concerned, so evidence of the fact that Moshe was wealthy, it's funny, even though we just cited the pasuk regarding the shavings off of the luchos, but the Gemara also has another proof as well. Notably, when Korach started really piping up, so Moshe said, you know, right, I haven't taken one of their donkeys. Now the Gemara says, now e belo agra lafuke man deshaka belo agra. Now what was meaning? He was proud of the fact that he didn't need anything from them. Now was he talking about a gift? Meaning that a gift alone, meaning not rental, not paying for it. So the Gemara says it's hard to imagine that that's what Moshe is boasting. Now it's funny. I say the word boasting. I don't mean boasting. Meaning the proud of the fact. Proud of the fact that he didn't take a donkey. So is he going to be proud of the fact that he didn't take a donkey without paying? So of course not. So Ella dafila ba'agra. No, it means what Moshe was saying was. Is that I didn't need to rent any of your donkeys. Why? Because Baruch Hashem, I got plenty of my own. So Dilma Mishum Da'ani Hava. So the Gemara says, okay, but it's a good proof, but it's not great. It could very well be that Moshe just simply couldn't afford it. Okay, so the Gemara says, Ela Psala Chapsal Tanyei Shelcha. Okay, so the Gemara goes back to what we've already said numerous times this morning, and that is that the shavings off the luchos. So that's how we know that Moshe was wealthy. We have three more personalities that evidence psukim in the Navi tell us that they were wealthy. So we're up to Shmuel. Shmuel dechsivin ni anuvi, neged Hashem v'neged mishicho, shor milakachti v'chamor milakachti. So I bechina lafugim antashaka bechina melodafil beschar. So when they ask for a king, Shmuel is looking at them and saying, hello, right? What's wrong with me? And I'm not a moocher. I don't take from you people. Right, and again, the same argument. In other words, when he said, "I didn't take a donkey," what does that mean? He didn't borrow a donkey. No, it means he didn't rent a donkey. So the Gemara says again, same thing. All we could say is that maybe he couldn't afford a donkey. So the Gemara says, "Ela mehacha uchuvaso ramasa kisham beisav v'amarava kamakam shalach beiso imo." Right, Shmuel did a circuit. Right, the Navi describes how Shmuel went around, and basically he. He took his leadership on the road, and he went from town to town, visited town to town, and then he went back home. And the Gemara Darshan said everywhere he went, he took his house with him. So basically, wherever he traveled, he was self-sufficient.
Can't
be. Because he was wealthy, right? He had an RV, but a really nice one. Okay, fine. Amar Avagadol Moshe Nemar B'Shmuel Yosef Misha Nemar B'Moshe. Now the Gemara is going to do its classic side-by-side comparison, right? Moshe said to Korach v'Adaso, I didn't take a donkey. So similarly, Shmuel said to the Jewish people when they asked for a king, I didn't take a donkey. But now the Gemara does what it does, right? Mm-hmm. Comparison. So Gadol Moshe Nemar b'Shmuel Yosef Moshe Nemar mi Moshe. Dila b'Moshe Rabbeinu Ksiv lo chamor echad mehem nasasi. Dafil b'schar. So what Moshe said is that I didn't rent. And ve'ilu gabi Shmuel afilu b'rasan lo scharo. So dechsev ayamr lo ashaktanu v'lo ritzosanu. And by Shmuel, meaning they were begging him. They were saying, please rent from us. Meaning we'd love it. Meaning it was not just a business relationship that he turned down, but even ones where they were more than happy to do so. The psukim say, Shmuel, you're good. Meaning we're totally good with you. Okay. So as far as Amos is concerned in his wealth, so how do he know he was wealthy? So we have a pasuk. So the Gemara says, good, we have a pasuk. Do we understand the pasuk? So generally speaking, right, the Navi's not easy in terms of reading. Nevi'im Rishonim, okay, right, totally doable. But once you get to the Nevi'im Achronim, so it's hard. And so over here, can the Metagim Rav Yosef? So the Gemara says, okay, so the pasuk over here that we just read is going to be easier understood once you have Targum Rav Yosef. Now, I say that, by the way, in other words, Targum Rav Yosef is helpful if you speak Aramaic. Okay, there's that. So, Are Mari Giti Ana V'shikmin Li B'shvalta, meaning what Amos is telling the people is that I have a lot of flock and I have a lot of shikma, a lot of trees. So, so in other words, basically, he's professing to the people he's wealthy. And finally, Yonah, so what did Yonah do? So he paid and he went on the boat. Okay, we're all familiar with Yonah. We get a Chazar Shir of Yonah every year on Yom Kippur. So he paid and he went on the boat. But now, something that maybe you have not considered, right? How many times have we gone through Sefer Yonah? So the Gemara here in Nedarim tells us the following. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Nasan Schara, Shel Sfina Kula. So what he did is he brought every ticket. He brought every ticket. Okay, a number of suggestions in terms of why it is that he had to purchase every ticket, meaning, right, he only needed one ticket. So some suggest that right now the boat was waiting for it to fill up and then go out. So in other words, and he wanted to get out there as soon as possible. Everyone knows, right, Sefer Yonah, we know, right? Our knowledge of Navi, when I say our knowledge of Navi, of course I'm talking about myself. So our knowledge of Navi is rather deficient, but Yonah we know. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, you're going to go to Nineveh and you're going to give Nivu over there. And he's like, thank you, but no thank you. And he checked out. Literally, checked out. So he wanted to get on the boat and he wanted to get away as quickly as possible. So that's why he paid for every ticket. There are other suggestions in terms of why he bought all the tickets as well. Anyway, so Amravumana Scharishosfina Havyar Balaf and Dinari Dahava. And just to give us an idea of what does that mean that he bought every ticket? So the ticket was 4,000 dinari dahava, golden dinarim. Okay, golden dinarim is a lot. I think a golden dinar is 25 salaim. All right, I hope my currency is good. Anyway, it's a lot of money. Okay. V'amar Rav Yochanan b'tchila yamosha limei Torah u'mishacha. Ash nitna lo b'matana shenem v'itena Moshe kakalasola daber ito. So Moshe kept forgetting the Torah, meaning at 40 days of learning up at Sinai. So Kadosh Baruch Hu taught to him, Moshe forgot. And then finally, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave it to him b'matana. Okay, much discussed in terms of is this the standard process of how learning happens? Meaning that we try to learn, we forget, we try to learn, we forget, and eventually it's gifted to us. Meaning, is it basically setting a standard for how Torah is generally mastered and learned? Okay, Ad Kan. Okay, Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, pretty much in the books. We are now up to Amud Beis, but we're on the bottom. And here we are now with another Mishnah. And over here in the fourth perek, we're going to be on point. In other words, there basically is one theme throughout this fourth perek, and that is what can be done from the Madar to the Mudar. I made a neder. You're not getting hana from me. Okay, good. You're not getting hana from me. Still, there are things that I could do for you, even though you can't get hana. So like we learned, I could teach you Torah and an assortment of other examples that we learned in the course of our parak. What else? So that's our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, V'zan es ishto v'zbana avafa pishu chai v'mezon osan. So what I could do is the following, and that is I could support your wife, I could support your children. Okay? Now, hopefully this should sound familiar, because this sounds like Chanan. Meaning at the end of Ksuvos, and just a couple days ago on Daf Lamed Gimel, so we saw the sheet of Chanan. Chanan says that this is not considered hana, because basically what you're doing is all you're doing is being mavriach chari. The Ran over here writes, don't say that. What I just said, don't say that. It's not just the sheet of Chanan. Look at the first Ran in the Mishnah. V'zan nizishtov ezbanav. Afilu karabana nasya. De betoris mitzvah seskin v'lo betoris piran shabal shechai b'mezon oseyim. Okay. So in other words, if you're looking to just simply pay back a debt, And the question of whether or not that's hana or not hana by removing the creditor from the picture, good, that's a machlokus between the Chanan and the Kohanim Gedolim. But the Ran says, but that's not what we're talking about over here. What we're talking about over here is Nebuch, the husband's not supporting his wife, and now you're coming in as tzedakah. Okay, So when you're coming in at staka, so that doesn't, it's not viewed as hana at all. Now, just to be clear, it's not viewed as hana vis-a-vis the husband, right? The husband's not doing what he should be doing. That part we understand. But now when you're supporting the wife and the kids, that's staka. So vis-a-vis the husband, that's not viewed as hana at all. Okay. In other words, because what you're doing is, you're doing your mitzvah of staka, period. And what you can't do is you can't feed their animals. Doesn't matter if we're talking about a kosher or non-kosher animal, because obviously what you're doing is that you're enhancing his animal, and that's hana. So right, it's an odd contrast, by the way. In other words, you can feed the wife, you can feed the children, but you can't feed the animal. But in other words, it makes perfect sense. In other words, the animal's possessions, he owns the animals. So basically what you're doing is that you're increasing the value of his possessions. That's hana. That you can't do. So, bein tara, bein tamea, Rabbi Elazar Omer, zanas the tamea, bein zanas the tara. So Rabbi Elazar wants to split the difference when it comes to animals. Non-kosher animals, so that you could feed. But kosher animals, you can't feed. So Amr lo, so the Chachamim say to Rabbi Elazar, ma bein tamea la tara. What could possibly be the distinction? So Amr lo, Rabbi Elazar explains. So shatara, nafsha l'shamayim, v'gufa shalom. So when it comes to a tahara, a kosher animal, so what's going to end up happening is that you're going to eat the animal. So if somebody else comes along and feeds the animal, you're going to get hana because you're going to have more pounds of meat. As far as the tamei is concerned, as far as the non-kosher animals are concerned, so nafsha v'gufa l'shamayim, and the animal dies, you're not eating the animal; it's not kosher. So in other words, so what benefit could there possibly be? Amrulo, the Chachamim say back to Rabbi Eliezer, Afa Tamei Nafshal Shemaim V'Gufa Shalom. Shim Yitzah Arehu Marchalov De Kochavim. O Machil Leklavim. So the Chachamim say back to Rabbi Eliezer, right? You can't possibly believe what you're saying. Meaning, right? The non-kosher animal. So the animal's fanned up. So you know what you do with it? I'll tell you what you do with it. You could sell it now. You're going to get more money. You can give it to your dogs. More meat for your dogs to eat. So in other words, of course it's a benefit. How could you say it's not a benefit? Just simply because the owner's not eating it? Okay, it's true. But in other words, but it is more value, and that value can be monetized. Okay, so a little bit difficult to understand Rabbi Lazar's distinction between kosher and non-kosher animals. Okay, good. And a little bit difficult to understand. The Chachamim don't understand it. Okay. The Ran over here on the Amud Beis. So he points out that if you think about it, the Gemara is a little bit strange, meaning that you are, according to Rabbi Elazar, you're not allowed to feed the kosher animal, but you're allowed to feed the non-kosher animal. Why? Because that's not hana. That's a little bit strange. What do you mean? What do you mean? Well, if somebody comes along and feeds my animal so that my animals live, right? That's not hana, right? That's a little bit strange. So what the Ran suggests over here is that when Rabbi Elazar says that you're allowed to feed the non-kosher animals, it means that the animals have the basic food allowances. We're talking about over here just the food that would fatten it up, right? That's what Rabbi Elazar is allowing. And because a non-kosher animal is not going to end up being eaten by you, so therefore it doesn't qualify as hana. Okay, see the Ran who basically says that you have to say the pshat in the Gemara like that. Amar Rav Yisro Bar Chananya, Amar Rav Huna, Amuda Ana Mechaver, Mutar La'asi Lo Bito. Okay, so you are not allowed to get benefit from somebody. So what you're allowed to do is you're allowed to marry his daughter. Okay, good. Okay. So Havi Bar Rabbi Zera B'Ma'iskin Ani Lema Nechse Havi Akalas Or Nala Chasan. So Moshe Lo Shivchol Sham Shom. So Rabbi Zera says, I'm going to try to understand this. Meaning, why are you allowed to marry the daughter? So if we're talking about where the property of the father is going to be forbidden to the chasan, so what did the father provide now for the chasan? Basically somebody who's going to service him. So it's Harei Moser Lo Shivcha Lo Shamsho. So the in other words, basically you're giving him somebody to serve him. Okay. In other words, I understand that in marriage, service goes in both directions, but, right, the responsibility is in both directions, but the wife serves the husband, right? We learned that in Ksuvus. Good. So the Gemara says, Ela benichse chasan asur alavi kala. So the, um, So it must be that we're going in the other direction, where the boy's possessions are usher to his future father-in-law. And now the point is that, okay, that may be true, but you can marry his daughter. So to which the Gemara says, if that's what Rav Huna meant, then thank you, Rav Huna, for giving us pretty much nothing new. Meaning, we knew this already. How do we know this? Our Mishnah. So Gedola Mizu Amru. So Zanis Ishta Ve'ez Bana Ve'ez Kol Ve'afa Pishehu Chai B'mezonasan Ve'at Amart Mutal Asi Abito. So I don't understand. We just went through our Mishnah. What did we learn in our Mishnah? So you can't get Hana from me. And meanwhile, what can I do? I can support your wife. I can support your children. That doesn't qualify as Hana. So over here, so I can marry your daughter, meaning that's obvious at that point in time. Right? In other words, Rav Huna is not giving us a chiddush anymore.
Why don't you know the money that the guy saved by not having to feed
his wife and daughter? Because he's, again, that's the, you're not feeding them because of the obligation, you're feeding them because it's staka. Right? That's again, the Ran said that in the Mishnah. So yes, it's true. In other words, he's certainly getting a benefit from it, but you're coming only as staka. Okay. So the Gemara says, and again, it's not direct. In other words, the fact that now he doesn't have to pay his wife and pay the kids, support the wife, support the kids. So that's an indirect benefit. So the Gemara says, "La'olam b'nichse aviv kala asur nalachasan and bevita bogeres midaita." So the Gemara says, "Okay, so we're going to go back to what we presented earlier, and that is that we're talking about where the father-in-law's possessions are also to the future son-in-law. And the problem now is that when the father-in-law gives his daughter." So he's basically giving somebody that serves him. That's a benefit. So the Gemara says the answer, which again, pretty straightforward answer. We would have figured this out. And that is the distinction between the age of the daughter. Meaning if the daughter's a katana, okay. So then that's a problem because the father has every right to marry off his katana daughter to whomever he wants. And therefore by providing you the daughter, so he's giving you benefit. And the neder does not allow you to receive benefit from him. Okay, good. That's problematic. More than problematic. It's usur. But when it comes to his daughter who's an adult, she's a bogeres, so she can marry whoever she wants. Father no longer has any say, right? Financially, right? From a halachic standpoint. So the father doesn't have any say in terms of who she marries. Oh. So now you can't get her enough from the father-in-law, but his daughter is now an adult. You can marry her.
What about
Nixon? He doesn't have to provide. He doesn't have to provide that as well. It's recommended. Okay. So Tanya Namihachi, and the Gemara says, and you know what? I have a brisa that says the same thing, and that is Amuda Namichaver Asolasi Lo Bito Ava Masio Bito Abagars Midaita. Brisa makes exactly that distinction. If I can't get Hana from my future father-in-law, so then marrying his katana daughter, that's out of the question because I'm getting Hana. But marrying his adult daughter, that's not out of the question. That you could do. Amrav Yaakov Amad Beno L'Tamat Torah. So Mutar L'Malos Lo Chavishamayim L'Hadlik Noas Aner. Okay, I'm going to say the Gemara over here over like the Ran. Not everyone's in agreement with the Ran, but I'm going to say like the Ran, and that is the following. The father makes a neder so that he does not want to get any benefit from his son. Okay, and what makes this pshat difficult is that there is a mitzvah of kibud av v'em. Okay, so I recognize the pshat I'm about to offer in the Gemara is difficult, but the Ran says it, and we're going to say it like the Ran, and that is that he knows that his son right now is totally invested and committed to learning Torah. He sees. He's watching him day to day. Sees that his son is totally devoted. And so what he doesn't want to do is he doesn't want to become a distraction. So he makes a neder that he's not going to be able to get benefit from his son. Okay. Good. That's the neder. So mutter, so now, what can the son do? Mutter lamalos lo chavishamayim ladlag no saner. So simple tasks, right? Tasks that don't require a lot of investment of time. So that you could do. Fill up a jug of water, light a candle for him. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, litzloslo da katan. Even make him a little fried fish. That's not a big investment of time. Okay. So Amrav Yirmi, Amrav Yochanan, Okay. Let's say now there's a neder, and one cannot benefit another person, but what he can do is that he can present him with the kosher shalom. So my nihu, okay, good. That's an interesting halacha. We don't understand what that means yet. So the Gemara says, okay, so I'll tell you what it means. So my nihu, achatagim, a kosher beis avel, b'marav amri kosher beis amerchatz. Okay, two possibilities, either the kosher beis avel. So in the beis avel, so the minig was, they drank. Remember the Gemara in Moed Katan? The Gemara says that how much did they drink? Right, there was a lot of drinking. In fact, there was so much drinking they had to cut it down because it was too much. I thought it. You said it. Okay, we move on. So the and Marava Amri Koshal Beis Amerchatz, and in Eretz Yisrael they gave a different shot, and that is when you leave the Shvitz. So when you're leaving the Shvitz, so you are. You're refreshed, but also you're thirsty. So these kinds of services do not qualify as hana. Okay, now why don't they qualify as hana? It's going to be a little bit difficult to say. In other words, they are. It's more a function of etiquette than it is that I'm actually providing a service. Okay, something along those lines. Okay, and just to finish up, Tanya Yoshua Ish Uzalmar. So Zan Avada Vishivchas of Akananim, Velo Yazanas Bahemto, Bain Tmei Bain Tahara. Okay, once again, Neder, prohibiting benefit. So you can't get benefit from me. I can't feed your animals. But what I can do is I can feed your Avadim. So my time, as the Gemara says, okay, why would that be? So Avada Vishivchas of Akananim, Liminach Rusa Avidan, and Behema Lepituma Avidan. So the Gemara says, and right, probably you thought this, the Gemara says, oh, look, when it comes to animals, so you're fending up somebody's animals, so that is now more animal, right? That's increased value. That's benefit. You can't do that. But when it comes to avadim and shvachos, so again, I'm gonna use the run that we saw earlier today. Meaning if they're mamish are not eating at all, and you're providing the food so that they live, okay, that sounds like benefit, but that's not what we're talking about over here. So what we're describing over here is that basically you're giving them extra food. Now, when it comes to the avadim, extra food is no good. Meaning it's going to slow them down. Right. Like what we described yesterday by Shabbos. Right. By Shabbos, what do we do? Extra food on Shabbos. What does it do? It slows us down. So when it says that you can't feed the avadim, sorry, you can feed the avadim. It's because we're talking about the excess, the extra, and that's not good. In other words, that's not a hana. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the Mishnah. We're going to stop. Tomorrow we pick it up with the Mishnah. Let's quickly chazer. Okay, so today, started off today really strong. The idea that the trap and men and any detail in the Torah, krieg, siv, the ta'amim, psukim, nekudos, so that is all halacha lamoshe misinai. Now again, by the way, I say that so definitively, knowing that yesterday's daf, there is another side. Yesterday's daf, the Gemara did entertain the idea that Pisuk Ta'amim is not a din daraisa, but rather an innovation of the Chachamim. But today's daf, however, the Gemara says it definitively, it is halacha Moshe Misinai. And in the beginning of today's daf, we went through example after example of all the various elements of the Torah. And I say Torah over here, I really mean Tanakh, that are halacha Moshe Misinai. Good. And that took us really through the entirety of the Amud Aleph, including qualities of a Navi, right? So what exactly are the four qualities of Moshe Rabbeinu that allowed him to have Ashras Ashchina, and that is the quality of a Navi, and four Navim who are wealthy, including Moshe Rabbeinu. On the Amud Beis, so we learned more about, even though there is a neder prohibiting you getting benefit from me, but here's what I can do for you. So I can feed your wife, I can feed your children. What I can't do, I can't feed your animals because that's increased value and that's going to be considered direct hana'ah. Okay, Rabbi Elazar tried to make a distinction between kosher and non-kosher animals, but the Chachamim said nothing doing. Meaning that I can't feed your animals, increasing the value of your animals, and that would be considered direct benefit. And then on for the remainder of the Amud Beis, so father-in-law, son-in-law interactions. Okay, neder is made. So neder is made, I can't get benefit from my future father-in-law, but I can marry his daughter. Okay, In other words, but a distinction to be made between whether the daughter is a katana or whether she's a bogaris. If it's a katana, so then he's providing for me basically a shamash. That I can't do. But if it's a gadola, so then I can marry his daughter. Okay, granted, by the way, it'll make relationships between me and my father-in-law a little bit challenging, but okay, it happens. And then finally, right, the last discussion today is that the father-in-law made a neder not to, that the son should not be giving him benefits so that the son could be directed towards the learning of Torah, and still the son could do some basic services for his father. Okay, that wasn't father-in-law, son-in-law, that was father-son. Okay, Adkan.